Welcome to the members from the presidency. Can we continue with our program? Thank you. Yes, thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable members of the portfolio committee. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, may I introduce the team? My name is Benin Sobadi. I'm the Director General in the Department of Sustainable Development for Women. I would like my colleagues to introduce themselves and some of the members of the team that they are going to be over to you.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Mojaji Siabi, Deputy Director General responsible for Women and Women and Gender Equality. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Tom Benin Jinga. I'm the CFO of the Department.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Mzoli Sitatoni. I'm the Deputy Director General of Responsible for Children and Disability.
My name is Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Tanga Mkendi. I'm Deputy Corporate Management.
Thank you. Okay, Chairperson, I will start by presenting the fourth quarter performance report for the financial year 2013-2014. Reflecting the performance of the department against the targets that we set ourselves in the annual strategic plan for the period April 2013 to March 2014. The chapter notes, I won't go the table of contents to set outlines what we're going to do, and after chapter at the time we were the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. So we reflected that branding in the presentation, because it relates to when we were the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. I'll quickly go to the first slide number 4, which gives an overview of the performance of the department for the fourth quarter. Chair, Honorable Members, during that period as the department, we performed at 85%. We had set ourselves the four targets for that quarter, and we achieved 29.2, which relates to translate to 85% of the performance. What we did, Chairman, was to look at comparative analysis so that we can see how we're progressing from the first quarter through to the last quarter. And as Honorable Chairperson and members would see that there's a progression in terms of performance in the four quarters of that financial year. We started off by performing 50% of the first target, in the first quarter to 69%, to 73%, and to 85%. It's also a remarkable improvement from the performance in the previous financial year, 2012-2013. Against the performance of 85%, As far as the financial performance of the department is concerned, Chairperson and Honorable Members, for the financial year, especially in the fourth quarter of 2013-2014, we showed a performance of 95% in our budget, and again the performance of the predetermined objectives of 85% is reflected in the previous slide. This is the performance, partial performance by economic classification, which indicates that as far as compensation of employees is concerned, we performed 80% of the budget, with 9% on goods and services. The transfers, Chairperson, we are transferring to the Commission on Gender Equality, we transferred all the budgets that was allocated, and 84% of the capital payments, which is the overall 95% performance. The performance information, Chairperson, in terms of what we have achieved as far as Program 1 is concerned, Program 1 achieved 92% of its targets. 12 targets were planned for the fourth quarter, 11 were achieved and 1 was not achieved. With regards to comparative analysis of the performance of Program 1, Chairperson, honourable members, you would see that there was a remarkable improvement in terms of performance in Program 1, from 22% in the first quarter to 92% in the fourth quarter. As far as budget is concerned, as I indicated, they performed 92% of their target at the 93% of their budget, which is Program 1, financial performance. And one could see the correlation between the performance in terms of predetermined objectives, the target services, as well as the performance in terms of the budget that is allocated for those targets. Now, this is these slides are indicating what has been achieved in terms of the targets that were set for the fourth quarter. The first column would indicate what is the indicator, performance indicator, and then the second column would look at the annual targets, but the third column would then look at the targets that were set for the fourth quarter, and then we would say what is it that we had achieved. So we had set ourselves that we would have one internal audit in the fourth quarter, but we actually did three audits, and that we done on human resources, supply chain, and IT, which was a good performance as far as the internal audit is concerned. But also, Chairperson, at the end of each financial year and also during the year, what would happen is that the AG would give us the report, and what we would do then is to indicate what are we going to do to address the issues that we're raised. So throughout the year then, we would have to follow through so that we improve on our performance. And I'm happy to report that as far as the action plan that we had to do in order to improve on what the AG has identified, we had done all those that way we had set ourselves through. The third challenge relates to the Council on Against Gender-Based Violence, and we report that we were targeting to have a meeting in the last quarter of the regular plenary session, and that was held in Chicago. The next one is when you do budget, we then have to say that we set a target of not exceeding 5% of not spending less than 95%. No, so our deviation in expenditure should not be in excess of 5%. So we had achieved that objective because we spent 95% of the budget. The next target we're going to review it in when we review our APP, because we reflect the percentage of the reduction of vacancy rate. So we were saying that the reduction of vacancy rate should, we set ourselves 30%. So which means if we have reduced our vacancy rate more than that target, then we have achieved the target. But we have discussed it with the Digital Corporate Services, and we agreed that going forward, we must put the percentage vacancy rate that we want to maintain. And there's a standard percentage vacancy rate of 10% that we will then, going forward, review our APP so that we keep our vacancy rate within the 10% norm, not above the 10%. But we are happy to say that we did reduce our vacancy rate by 8%. We had conducted a staff satisfaction survey to get a sense of how the staff feel about being in the department and what they need to do to improve the satisfaction of staff. And we did very as far as that is concerned, Chairperson. We targeted 6% satisfaction rate, but we had done the survey and we got input from staff in terms of the areas that we need to improve on. and we are working on that. We have a plan that we have put in place to address the issues that are raised by staff, ranging from the working environment, the enabling tools, but also the fact we're also looking at issues of performance management, and we address, or we're working towards addressing those. As far as the stakeholder forum is concerned, we held one, and we have a report to that effect. We hold some of the stakeholders that we engage with our development partners, so we would have a session with all of them so that we go through what they assisted us and what they still need to assist us on if they, in terms of our plans and what we request assistance from them on. But also we do have the, as Chairperson and honorable members would know, we do have the gender machinery that we hold, but we'll report on that in the next program two. We had developed a communication plan, and we conducted a survey with regards to how the public, South African citizens, perceive the department. Do they know what the department is all about, and what are they expecting from the department? And we found that relatively the citizens do know of the department, and the expectations of the citizens from the department was something that also needs to look into in terms of our mandate and what and the public out there expect us of us to do. So we did get that survey, and we presented the report to staff as well, so that staff are aware of the perception of the public out there about us. One other area that we're involved in is to conduct research on women empowerment, children and people with disabilities. And we have done a research in collaboration with the Department of Social Development and honorable members around the social security in protecting children's dignity and the value of the social security that is given by government through the Department of Social Development. And we the report in the survey indicates that it's really appreciated and it does assist the social security for children and the needs that the young women use that for their own personal needs was dispelled through this survey that was conducted, this research work that was conducted. The recipients of social security were appreciative and said that without that they would not be able to fend for their families and provide the basic needs. As far as the analytic report, we had one report that we had done to analyze. We would have some analytic reports in terms of the status of what is happening around women, children and people with disability, and one of that report was produced in the fourth quarter. The next one relates to the compliance issues of developing a stress plan, annual performance plan and the annual report. And for the fourth quarter, we had to submit an annual performance plan to Parliament by the 12th of March, which we did, and also to the National Treasury. In the internal audit, our internal audit chair and honorable members is informed by a risk-based audit. So we have to develop a risk assessment which indicates what are the things that would prevent us from delivering on our mandate. So what are the possible risks that would be there? We would identify those, and then we do have then a risk assessment report, and we had appointed a risk director, which is working to ensure that we also look at our risk, because we don't just develop the risk register. We also indicate what are the mitigating factors, what are we going to do to mitigate those risks. So periodically then we have to report in terms of what have we done towards mitigating the risks that we identified ourselves. And then next one, Chairperson, is this slide talks to what we had not achieved in the previous quarter, which was outstanding, which we were supposed to achieve in the fourth quarter, and the status thereof. As far as the action plans, as I reported, we had done follow-up audits, so that was achieved. What was not achieved was we were set to develop a monitoring tool on GBV, but when we discussed with the council, we agreed that we need to start to have the national strategic plan so that the tool will be monitoring our
delivery on the national strategic plan. So that's why then the GBV monitoring process was not compiled and developed. But it's a work in progress, Chairperson. The another target that was not set, we had set ourselves that, as I indicated, we won't spend more than our deviation in expenditure would not be more than 5%. What we had done throughout the year was to say that for each quarter we would not deviate at all from the set target, which was a bit of an unrealistic target to say that we will spend as we had projected. Because in expenditure there are sometimes better than beyond our control. But we've since addressed that in the current annual performance plan. So as of the third quarter, we had not achieved the 0% target in terms of spending exactly according to what we had set ourselves to do. So, but as I reported, by the fourth quarter, we were at 95%. Same with the beginning of the 80%, we had achieved it. And then I've already spoken to the survey in terms of the staff satisfaction. What we had also identified is that we had set ourselves a target to coordinate events for the key sectors that we were responsible for. And those targets were aligned with the calendar within those sectors. You would have your International Day of the Children, the Day of the African Child, the National Cerebral Palsy Week, the Deaf Awareness Week. So we had said that we had put our target in line with those days that are celebrated. But we did not actually deliver in terms of what we had set ourselves to do. And we reflected and we realized that we do not necessarily participate in all those activities and events. So we need to focus on those that we really participate on. But also we are mindful of the fact that as far as that Chief Directorate is concerned, that helps us with the advocacy of in the disability unit, in the children's unit. We needed to strengthen the capacity, especially in the disability unit, because we were sitting with a vacant chief director position for a while, and the director who also was supposed to assist us to drive that program had been on and off in terms of capacity to be at work. So that also relates to the previous day, the International Day of the Deaf Child, the National Down Syndrome Day. So we have since looked at and worked closely the sectors within the core programs to say which, for instance, we know that the disability sector focus on the disability month, which is 10th November to the 3rd December. So let's put all our energies towards that. The same with the women's sector, they focus on the Women's Day, Women's Month, as well as the 15th day of activism or no violence against women and children. So let's rather gather our activities and support towards those and not identify and single out each and every celebratory day or every week that relates to some of the sectors. Chairperson, that is problem one. Moving on to problem two, women empowerment and gender equality. They set themselves 7 targets for the fourth quarter, and I'm pleased to report that they did achieve all the targets that they set themselves out to achieve. And Chair and Honourable Members, as you can see, there's also been an improvement in terms of each quarter for the financial year, as far as the performance of the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality branch is concerned. They've achieved 100%. At 99% of their budget, which correlates to their achievement in terms of the set targets as well as the performance, the budget performance. What we had set out to do, that we would have programs that would work towards the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Policy. Chair and Honourable Members, we've got a wage policy, national policy that was developed in 2000 that we were going to review. However, what had been decided was that we would work hard towards development, consultation, and presentation of the Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill to Parliament. We consulted the bill, brought it to Parliament, to the fourth Parliament, it went through to the National Assembly, and it also went through to select the National Council of Provinces, the Select Committee,
took it through the provinces, and it was brought back to the National Assembly with some proposed amendments. As Chair and Honourable Members know, because then we are in Free Parliament, that process would last, and we would then need to start the process and resuscitate that process if we were to get the gender equality and women empowerment bill enacted in Parliament. As far as the women socio-economic opportunities are concerned, what we did, Chair and Honourable Members, was to take women on a Japan Africa Business Exchange, and we facilitated the development of the concept. We facilitated there, and we took women over to Japan to on an exchange program on how women would enhance their business skills. So that was one of the achievements that we did in the fourth quarter. But also as part of a mandate which was also assigned to the deputy president by the deputy minister by minister was the issue of involvement in gender-based violence and also HIV and AIDS. So deputy minister represented us as a SANAC, as a representative of the department. So as part of that process, we had to report on target 7 on the UN gender inequality and women and girls to protect them from HIV. So we facilitated that through the office of the deputy minister, and the deputy minister was working closely with the UNA. We had an arrangement. They would also second a person to come and work in the office of the deputy minister to ensure that as a department, as far as women and girls are concerned, we participate in SANA and we contribute meaningfully towards ensuring that women issues are taken care of and girls. And so I think it is provincial. We went throughout the provinces to ensure that we participate in that target. The one other thing that we did was to develop a gender responsive budgeting framework. We piloted it with four departments. We were working very closely with the Montserrat Foundation on that. We also took it to provinces, piloting it to provinces in the Western Cape and the Free State to provide technical support. We are of the view that in order for us to have meaningful economic empowerment of women, we need to, especially when it comes to government, we need to start with a budgeting process so that we ensure that the budget responds to the needs of gender and women empowerment. So we still going to finalize that process. We've taken the report to cabinet, and we have been asked to go in and finalize the framework so that we have a framework, and then we will give the National Treasury and so that when governments develop their budget, they factor in the gender responsive element of it, but also when the AG audits at the end of the year, they also look at how government departments have implemented the gender responsive policy framework. But that's work in progress, because we have not finalized that yet. As I indicated, we do hold machinery, and we held one in the quarter. And I think it was also in March where we aligned it to the International Women's Day on the 8th of March. So that was a machinery. And we're consulting also in preparation for CSW. So it was twofold. It was also aimed at consulting women in terms of our preparations for the CSW, but also consulting on the women empowerment and gender equality. Chair, honourable members, we also are involved in encouraging young women to participate in science, technology, engineering and mathematics fields. Where we take young girls and we link them up with companies so that they are encouraged to take careers that talk to science, technology, engineering, and math. And I'm happy to report that that has been very successful. We've got a number of companies that are on board, and they have taken these young girls, and some of them have taken up interest in those fields. We're not 100% successful, others would go back to commerce and but we do encourage young girls to be empowered as far as those fields are concerned. And we took one
time two of those young girls took CSW, and we had a side event at the CSW beginning of this year where we were showcasing how this program is helping young girls. And it empowers them. It's not just exposure to those fields, but also their own personal development. I remember the young girl was from PE, and she had never been out of the country. It was an exciting exposure and experience for her to travel to New York. But anyway, for Pastor Elizabeth. Person and honorable members, we do have women empowerment projects that we sort of monitor in terms of ensuring that in the provinces, women who are involved in businesses, they get support, their projects are successful to a certain extent. So we've got a report on those visits that were undertaken by colleagues to monitor what is happening in those women empowerment projects. This slide chair talked to the outstanding targets of Scholar 2, and as I indicated, we're going to review the policies, but then we focus on the WGB. The next program, Honorable Chairperson and members, talked to the children's rights and responsibilities, and I'm happy to report that they have achieved 90% of their targets in the fourth quarter, and 9 targets out of 10 that they had set themselves up to achieve for that particular quarter. And at the expenditure of 9, when you look at the performance when compared with the other quarters, they had improved, though they dropped slightly from the first to the second quarter, and they maintained their performance in the third quarter, but they had improved in the fourth quarter. And against a budget of 92%, but an expenditure of 92% for children's rights and responsibilities. What they have been doing, Chelsea, is, and which they've been very good at, is to get young adolescent children to become ambassadors of children. They do have the children's parliament focused on children participating in the democracy and their lives and being actively involved. And I must say that they've done a good job in province, working with the focal points in provinces and nurturing those young children. And it culminates, it's just that it's not in this quarter, it does culminate into the National Children's Day in November, where all children from all the provinces will get together and showcase what are they doing in their respective communities. So they then had to workshop with children in January so that they also understand what you mean by mainstreaming children's rights, so that they also are on the lookout and guard when they see that their rights as children are not mainstreamed within their areas where they live. The next one relates to the campaign of No Violence Against Women and Children, which was conducted in Gippsland. Honorable members would know what had happened in Gippsland, and we responded to that. The case of the two governments that had aged, I think, 3 and 4, that died so violently. We went into that community, we raised awareness about responsible parenting, found the community and the family were lacking in terms of ensuring that the children are protected. But we went to that community and worked with the leaders in that community and the church organizations in the community to campaign, especially focusing on responsible parenting. We also looked at the lack of early childhood development facilities, so that children at the ages before they go to school, they are well looked after, and we also raised awareness about that within that community, and we were working very closely with the Department of Social Development as far as that is concerned. Chair and honorable members, we also held a children's rights machinery in March, and where we were looking at the report that was developed on the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. This report had been submitted to the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, and which we have also notified the COVID deposited to the EU. So we and the civil society groupings were going to go and report to present their shadow report. So we were looking at the reports and looking at what is it that came out of the report, what are the issues that we need to be vigilant on. And one of the things that we raised, Chair and Honourable Members, is the issue of children entering our borders, that we need to look into that, because we've got a number of children that enter our borders from the neighbouring Sussex countries. And sometimes when they come in, some of them, if they're not picked up, they end up going into the wrong hands and being trafficked. So those are some of the issues that we raised in that session. The next one, Chair and Honourable Members, was to look at the National Plan of Action for Children that we had developed, which was approved, which needs to be reviewed now, 2016. I think it's to be reviewed. But it's a plan of action for children that we workshopped in the provinces on, which we held those workshops in the Western Cape and Cape. Chair and Honourable Members, we put a child in this community framework that we've been talking about it for a long time, and I think we are going to communities and workshop in it, but we just need to strengthen that. We were going to have it finalized as a framework, but we have not achieved that target. We're working with UNICEF as far as that is concerned, and they've requested that we pilot it with them at the time. They said we should pilot it at the Swanee municipalities. So I'm sure it will be taken up to check in this current financial year. And I'm looking forward to the time that we really implement this framework on child-friendly communities, including children with disabilities. When we went to the conference of state parties last year, there was a country that was showcasing how child-friendly communities could benefit the children as well as children with disabilities, with the parks that are friendly to children with disabilities as well. It was a very good presentation. I think it was impressive that they were presenting that model. Then, Honourable Members, we are going to finalise the monitoring and evaluation strategy on the Children's Rights and Responsibility Program, which was done in the quarter under review. The next one is when you do monitoring and evaluation, you need a system that is going to assist you in collecting information. And I must commend this program for having worked to develop what is called Ulwazi Nabantwana. It's a system that we have worked closely with FSA so that it's available, and it's very complicated for me who's not a fundi as far as those things are concerned. But they had showed it to us, and they also showed it as machinery, how it could work, how it would make it easy for data to be collected and analyzed so that we have a readily available information on children's issues. And we wanted to also use the same model to develop the same system for women collection of disabilities, as far as women empowerment is concerned, as well as persons with disabilities. So that for me is a very good achievement, as far as just ensuring that we do have reliable data from which to draw information to develop our report. Also, we have developed, it's a pity we did not bring it, there's a fact sheet that was developed on key child rights. It's a very beautiful child-friendly document, and they've also put a banner on it, which is just like a maze. It will start from there, and you'll see the roads that take with each and every area relating to children's rights, explaining children's rights in the manner such that children can also understand. It's one of the key achievements that Jefferson would give to this program, Children's Rights and Responsibility. I had already spoken to the country dialogue between government and civil society in terms of the report that has been finalized. What we do, Jefferson and other members, is we develop the report, we consult wisely, and then we submit the report to the Department of International Relations. And then the depositing of the report to the relevant forum would be through TEGO. So they have deposited it to the AU. We said that they have not deposited it to UN yet. So we're still working. We had written, I'd written to Digi to try and fast track the process so that we meet the target of depositing it. Because now we can only submit it to the COPADEN, taking it to the relevant body would be the Department of International Relations and Cooperative. The one, what we understand is I've already spoken to say, is the child and the community framework, which I'm sure they did not enter that. At least this budget idea is finalized. It would be a good tool to have. The last program, Chair, and I remember talking to the rights of people with disabilities. We had set ourselves five targets as far as the fourth quarter is concerned, and we achieved two, which is 40%, which translates to 40% of our targets. And if you look at the performance of the program, it's always been a little bit of a problem or a challenge. As I indicated, it is lacking, especially as far as advocacy is concerned, in terms of capacity. We really don't have a dedicated capacity to drive the programs as far as advocacy and mainstreaming is concerned. But also what was done is with regards to the institutional support, chief director of this program was to also try and get some capacity from within the department and transferred to the program so that they can assist to ensure that the program performs and achieves their target. So as you can see in the quarter one there were 32%, quarter two is 7%, a remarkable improvement, but again back to 33% quarter three and 40% in quarter four. In terms of the budget performance, 80% of the budget has been spent, and one would say that there's no correlation there between budget performance and performance in terms of the target. A lot of this does get done, especially this program was led by the Deputy Minister, and she had a lot of, she used the Deputy Minister, the private sector, a great deal, in terms of drawing from the corporate social investment of the private sector to drive some of the progress in terms of persons with disabilities. And there's a lot of work that was done there, and we were saying that we would need to really get reports as far as that is concerned so that we can showcase what has been done outside of the non-performance as far as the set objectives. But I must comment, as far as the CM is concerned, there's a lot of work that has been done within the disabilities. She has gone to the provinces to raise awareness about disability. She's met, she's gone to the institutions of higher learning, and there were the outputs, tangible outputs from those engagements. Although, as far as this presentation is concerned, one sees that there's lack of performance in terms of this program, but there's a lot of work that has been done on the ground. So as far as the performance against the target, President, what this program has achieved is to develop a transnational disability policy. The objective was to develop that policy into a white paper, and then which will lead to legislation on disability, who is the first in the country for us to have a disability act, National Disability Act. But I'm happy to say that we are on track as far as the development of a policy for disability, national policy for disability. The one area that we did not achieve, on which we still need to look into, is the universal access framework, so that the issues of universal access is conversed across society, so that the people with disabilities are enabled to be empowered and to be able to be independent. What do you call it? To live independently. Because that's very critical for persons with disabilities to be able to live independently. They should have universal access as they engage and go about doing their business. As I indicated, I think I spoke about the Deputy Minister working very closely with the private sector. This is one of the projects that this Council Disability Care Centre would address and identify an area that needs to be looked into. There was a centre in the Northwest Province, for instance, for children with disabilities that was in a stage that is not that does not make one proud of being a parent, for instance. And she went in there and she lobbied Department of Social Development. I think she worked with the Deputy President, with the Office of the Deputy President. And that center was sent around and it was made into a beautiful center that cater for the needs of the children with disabilities, so a care center for children with disabilities. The one other target that we did not achieve wanted to develop a report on the status of people with disabilities and publish it. When we develop such reports, we do questionnaires that we would send out to departments for them to respond, and sometimes it becomes a bigger challenge to just get to respond to timely. So we could not meet that target, and we had set ourselves to get a published report in the fourth quarter. What was not achieved in the third quarter, which remained unachieved in the fourth quarter, Shepherd and one of the members was related to the mainstreaming of disability considerations. It remained unachieved, although I must say that there has been a model that was developed for special schools that would be shared with other special schools, but not really talking to the target that we set ourselves to achieve. We did develop a report on the standard for persons with disability, living standards, as well as learners with disabilities that are enrolled in special schools. We did not publish it. I remember when it was presented, we said that we can't publish it without having consulted. As government, we have to consult our clusters, so we have to go to cabinet, and then only then should we publish it. So it remains unpublished, but we will work towards ensuring that we publish those two reports. The fourth point. Thank you.
Question up, but I want to just make this comment. During the SONA address, we are very, very, very clear that in this first parliament we want to transform, we have to transform the South African society radically, socially and politically, not radically transformed. Socially, politically and economically. Now, looking at this, I don't see anything radical here. And I think perhaps the partners must now realize that whatever you do, you must know that we want to transform the society. Whatever you do, we want to transform the society radically, socially, politically, and economically. Now, I think all those workshops and that you are conducting, workshop here, the game, so the person I will ask you, all those activities that are taking place, how does it, or does it, have, does it contribute in any way towards transforming society we're living in? You raise the issue of kids coming across our border, not on the street, as people from the street, right? But kids coming across our border, and you're concerned about these kids coming in wrong. And at the same time, you also say that the programs, your programs are supposed to implement in the municipalities, the kids are living, the children live in communities, they live in municipalities. There are some challenges that have not achieved. There's not achieved. In other words, you are actually failing the most vulnerable in our community, which is sort of. But if you look at these municipalities, let me give one example of one municipality in the city of Pietermaritzburg. On almost every corner you find three kids. 6 year old, 7 year old, 8 year old, they're supposed to be in school. Supposed to be in school, they're not in school. We're creating a society, a future of three kids. How does your program address issues like that? Then the last question is, do your department link, how do you link up with other departments? Because in order for you to transform society, you need to link up with other departments. When you speak about the land and rural development department, when you speak about restoring land to land of people, we don't have land gets restored to a bunch of males only in future. You want to see that women benefit, but women are basically in the rural areas. Find majority of women are in the rural areas in the farming community, very, very, very poor. So your department should actually cross cut many other departments and link up with other departments to ensure that whatever they do, that the issues regarding women and children gets addressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you very much for the department for the report. My questions will be mostly clarification questions. I think even previously in the fourth parliament, I raised in a very earnest manner, or I even asked a question to the former minister about the size of delegations that goes overseas. And I've advocated previously that we need to use our delegations that travel to UN conferences or to overseas conferences smaller, not because it's not important for us to participate, but because from the outset the department had no money. And now from the quarter four report, we see that 2.4 million of the wage budget was actually spent on a delegation of 8 officials that traveled to the Commission on the Status of Women in New York. Can the department please give us clarity as to how that delegation was put together and what the roles and responsibilities of each of those officials were, because we know that the scope of participation in these conferences are limited, so we need to know what in fact each of these persons did. And then in terms of your turnaround strategy, I wanted to get an update now that the department is no more, whether there were any outstanding matters, if any, from your turnaround strategy. On slide 11, you speak to the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence. One would recall that President Zuma in his summer address of 2012 or 2013 had announced the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence as government's main fight or main body that will fight gender-based violence. And considering that this month of Women's Month that just passed, 75,000 women have been raped, I want to know whether this department actually had any successes and whether what the future of this department is going to look like. Do you know yet whether it will be residing with this department, the women's department, or whether it will be transferred to social development? You think about your vacancy rate and you say that you've reduced it by 7%, but what is the actual number of vacancies when you were dismantled? On slide 12, you sort of skip over it, but you talk about staff satisfaction and you say it's not completed and you didn't do really well in this. But what were the staff concerns? Which issues are flagged by them? Can you please just take us into confidence on this matter? We talk about slide 30, your communications plan and the survey that was conducted amongst the public about how you were perceived by the public. Do you have a copy of the survey that we could possibly have? Also, you talk often about successes and you list your workshops that the previous speaker said. You talk about workshops and meetings and consultations, and you list these as successes.
But do you have reports available on each of these meetings that you hold? And then lastly, the slightly funded Japan Africa initiative, it is also listed as a success. Why did you select Japan as a country to engage in, and what was the department's financial contribution to this exchange? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Also, excuse me, I'm concerned by some of the issues already raised, but perhaps I'll just suggest a different angle. The National Council Against Gender-Based Violence, we want to know what its status is. We know that there were problems of leadership. The former deputy president resigned from it. I think we've got a feeling that people are just not satisfied. So we are concerned as a committee that we are setting up bodies and they are turning into talk shops. And how is the money that is being spent on these initiatives actually translated into action on the ground? We don't need more high-level talks. We need action. And I think we need to see how our money is being spent. Is being spent effectively? Are you getting your value for your money? I think about the overseas trips that were mentioned. The Japanese one concerns me as well. I was interested in the young people who went off to the United Nations. Now, I'd like to know, what were they doing there? Were they just sitting and listening? And all the other members, I've been there too, so I know what happens or what is not effective. Is there enough preparation for people? Do they know what they're going to achieve? And when you do your reporting, does the reporting come back quickly, or do we have to wait months and months and months, and we don't actually know what has been achieved? I think that's something we really need to see. Action, money spent must translate into differences in people's lives on the ground. I get the impression that we're doing top dressing. Also, if you look at your staff structure, where you have got many directors, but where are the people, the field workers, the people working on the ground? Is the fact that we're overspending evidence of work, or is it actually evidence of inefficiency and not financing ourselves? Vacancies, yeah, that was mentioned. We also want to know at which level. It's all very well to say we've appointed more staff, but are those staff properly fit for purpose? Are they doing the job? And what is their impression of the job? I'm also interested in your staff satisfaction, looking at working conditions and all that sort of thing. Now, we know that we need to have a good situation, but what is the motivation of the staff? Have we achieved that? Does their job satisfaction relate to having been able to transform situations where there needs to be? Or are we just looking at perks, comfortable offices, flowers, cars, high salaries? We actually want people who are committed, who are seeing their jobs as a mission to help us to change our country and to help those people who are suffering on the ground. I'll leave it at that for the moment. Thank you. Thank you. Can I turn the floor? Thank you very much. Obviously this is a department in transition, so we're talking about a fourth quarter, which is referring to things that I'm assuming not moving on with, and then some of our questions are asking what you're going to do with children and people with disabilities, and that throws a bit of confusion for me, because I would like to hear, and that's probably in a follow-up briefing, which would be who's moving across to what department. We have the DDG here of children. I'm assuming there won't be a DDG of children. So at this point, a lot of the things in my head are just wondering how far are we with that? What's moved across, how successful is it? What are the issues there? Particularly on children and PWD, and a lot of what we've heard about today is relating to that, and I'm just wondering what's going to fall through the cracks, how it moves on. So it's a lot of questions, and I'm sure that you may have a plan to speak to that specifically at a later date. Just looking at on page 13, the evidence-based research project, and you mentioned about a paper on the role of social security in protecting children's dignity and touched on the fact that the myth was there for the spell. I would really like to know who did that research, because still on the ground you're still hearing people adamant that the policy is negative in terms of young people and inspiring them to have babies. So although the myth may have been dispelled, people on the ground still seem to be holding fast to this idea that it's counterproductive. Then also thinking on that report, obviously Tomorrow in Social Development is a report, I think, the Medical Research Council on women and violence against women, etc., etc. So I'm just wondering how those reports link up, because obviously that's more in your area in terms of women very specifically, and how much you would have had to do with that report, and if we'll get feedback on that report here to see what we need to do with it from our point of view. And then there's also just that thought that talking about young people who were out of the country linking with technology, engineering, and mathematics, I mean, I sort of thought, well, how many more children perhaps could access that if perhaps something was brought here rather than a child taken there, whatever, you know, so I'm just wondering how much goes into those kind of decisions in terms of how far can that money go in terms of reaching more rather than fewer select individuals. But that's just for now. Thank you.
Ngibonge sihlalo wami. Ayi nami ngibonge ningabi nolento yokukhuluma isiZulu. No nami noma usengikhavile kancane u-honorable ongaphambili. La into engikhala ngayo kuba nansi le minyango ikhona emhle kangaka ebhekele abantu besifazane kunye nezingane. Ngabe ngempela bayaya yini bahlangene kangakanani nama-social worker ukubheka isimo ngendlela okwenza ngayo, ngoba kumnandi ngempela kuhleli la emakhondini sikhuluma and ngiyakuzwa ukhuluma impela ezifo ngathi izinto ziyenzeka. Kanti i-most yazo kwemasikhathi abaningi emakhaya akusizi nganami lapha abantu basemakhaya okunzima ngabo bahlupha abanalo mhlaba aningahamba nibahambele nifeni baqoqe nakhele mhlambe ama-project bakwazi ukuyiphikisa kuze bakwazi ukuthi bahle. And kunogogo wasophongolo lo gogo lo unengane ekhubazekileyo ubhuti osemdala mhlawumbe ngako-30 bani indlu ahlala kuyona yihlazo neyabazukulu abawu-12 labazukulu abayigisho esikoleni zoba ngikhuluma nabo. Lo gogo lo ngize ngakhanga ngibuka udaba lakhe ngoba sesifika ngisho ukufa. Abantu bakithi bangayi-South Africa amfuna ukoshisa basesenkingeni. Nakhona la emalokishini ngakuthatha ngikhasambe siye nawo e-Fraser othongado fu uthole isimanga iy'ngane zakhona zifundi zidlala emaxhaphozini amanzi aziye ey'koleni ngoba utshela umama ukanazo shemaleke ukuthi badle kuze bathengele ama-uniformu. Bengithi mina ngoba nako ikhona le miyanga iyakhombisa ukuthi ikhona. Kungani ngihambi ihambele lapha emakhaya ibaqoqe omama ibatholele izimali ibanikeze imishino phela. Niyazi okuqala umuntu wasemakhaya uhloniphane noma azihloniphile ilungelo lakhe akakwazi uya enkosini noma ekhanseleni ayothi ngicela ukuthi yayizona. Yingabo bethile njengoba silala-ke manje asiphumeli bahambe labantu basemakhaya nibaqoqe banikeze amageja okulima balime kuze bakwazi ukulima. Zinzima inkinga ngafethu ngoba ke abantu basikhuluma ngabantu basemakhaya omama nezingane zifunda imoto yazo and lo mndeni njengoba kuluma emakhaya kunabantu abaningi nalogogonye umngane yagayikoli bonke badiphendele emalini ebeshini. Mina kengicela ukuthi masibuya sizalane asenzeni ngempela abantu bakwethu ukuthi niyasho ukuthi sasihambe lasayapa noma-ke benziwe lento ukuthi siphume out siyobheka sibuye sizohlala lasesibonile ukuthi kwenzana ngoba jolosgidagizentoeneyimane ngibonge ukuhlala osamoti gilivizitangiphe ukuthi zohlala ukuthi khona ngempela kusungu mama balento esikhuluma sikhuluma ngezinto esizazini ngisho emalokishini balambile abantu abanye abasana nabezi abasenamanzi basholela amadoda ilungelo laba balazi balizwa ngendaba nje kuthiwa bakuphe inyanga ka-agasi kodwa bazi bazoyikhupha bona bathi bagelane la kuyabonga.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just had a couple of questions that I want to ask. First of all, on Program 1,
I'm interested to know the invoices that have been processed within 10 days. What is causing delay in the submission of invoices and also for the service providers? And also regarding the issue that one of the honourable members mentioned regarding National Council on Gender-Based Violence, we see violence constantly on women. What is the current status and what is that has been done by the department to assure that we prevent this problem that we're having of gender-based violence? And also, is there a way that you can actually consult some African countries that are actually already living in dealing with gender-based violence? And also, going to problem two, gender mainstreaming status. Can we please have a report and what is it that was achieved and also the budget that was actually allocated and how it was spent? And on program three, if you look at children's rights within municipalities, can you just look at the successes and the challenges of the program? And also the UWASI database. Why is not is that database is not launched yet? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Member.
Thank
you. I just want to appreciate the report that we have been given. At least it gives us light because some of us are new in the portfolio. But just to say, on other issues, because some of the issues that I want to raise have been raised, so but I want to stress on other issues and having different views. There's a member who said that the money that was spent on the children that went overseas to learn on engineering and science, it was not necessary. And I think it is necessary because it is important that other kids know what other kids are doing throughout the world. There's a channel that is issued every year on children at different schools throughout the world, especially in Europe. The EU says that there are competitions throughout the year of different schools in terms of science and technology, how kids interact with each other in sharing projects. So even our children, it's important that they must interact with other kids and find out what exactly other children are doing throughout the world. Even if, you know, I think people don't understand the huge responsibility that we must engage with and also learning. Because if you don't interact with other countries, I mean, there is a lot of things that we have done in the last 20 years just to interact with other countries. When our country was in isolation, we were unable to even know exactly what is happening even in Zambia. You know, when we met the Zambians, it was like the conflict amongst us, but there is commonality on most of the things that we are doing. But because we have not interacted with them for a number of years, we never knew them. You see, so that is the problem also. So the issue of people interacting is very, very important. So we can't say because we have a huge backlog of educating our children that we deprive them of interacting with other kids worldwide. And I'm mostly interested on the others. The issue of survey, I think other members have covered me. We need to share the survey. I mean, you have shared that survey with the community, but you have never shared that survey with the portfolio committee. So it is important that your accounting base share it with us so that we are able, when we go to our constituencies, we are able to say this is what the department has done, if they are misunderstanding, because we also interact with our constituencies. The issue of Japan, I'm mostly interested in the people that you took to Japan. When they came back, how long did they go? What is it that they have learned? When they came back, where did they implement that? How did it impact on poverty? Did it reduce poverty? Did it reduce inequality? Did it reduce unemployment? Those are the issues that we're interested in. Or maybe what you needed to do as the department is to target certain areas. And these areas, when you target them, put your resources, because your resources are very small, you put them in one place and you measure. You say, when we came in, this is what we found. When now we are here, year one, year two, year three, so that all of us, even if you have spent all your money in that particular place, we are able to say, this is what the department has done in collaboration with other departments to reduce these issues. I mean, in the NDP, we're talking about two things. unemployment, inequality, and poverty. Those three things, how did you address them in year one, year two, year three? This is the place we can maybe show you and how it impacted. And if it means that we can implement this like this, we can implement it in any other area in South Africa. So I think that's what we need to do, because we have so much responsibility that women are there, down there. I think the other members have alluded to what I'm saying, that women are in dire need of resources, but in also changing the lives of women. So how do we do that? If we take women to Japan, how did it impact on those communities? That where did we take them? Where, how did we select them? Are these women impoverished? Are these women empowered? If they are empowered, now they are board of directors. They are now in big companies. They have established whatever. Which are all those things that we want women to achieve? And on the child-friendly communities, you said you're piloting that in Swahili, I stay in Swahili, way in Swahili, and which are these targeted groups, and how are you doing it with the municipality? So that some of us who stay in those areas, we are able to monitor exactly what you're doing. And are you still going to continue the program with the Department of Social Development, because you started the program, or are you handing it over to them? Same applies to the disability. You said the DM did a good job, and these things are not written. Why are they not written? You were there when she was doing whatever campaign. That, and what these campaigns that impacted, how positive did they impact, you know, how did they help us? Are you still going to use the same method, but that she's no longer in the department? Are you still going to use the same method to assist with PM and people with disabilities? We don't know. So you need to tell us, are you still continuing helping social development to engage in those programs that the DM did? Thank you, Chairperson.
My question is there a light shining at the end of this tunnel explaining when this transition is ending and how we're going to actually now have proper progress attending to whatever is going to be handed over to us? And why I'm saying so, because I have a niggling question. I keep getting sexually active at a very early age, which means they jump the age of being teenagers and become mothers. At times it's not as if, you know, they bring it upon themselves, but because of sexual abuse by the older people, they end up fully pregnant. Now that child is no more a child. With the transfer of other departments, children and people with disabilities, where do these unfortunately kids fall in? It's very, very important we have to deal with this problem like this. Which will then have an impact on the stuff you have right now in these ministries, because once they actually say you keep this, you're not going to deal with the others, then those people who are dealing with those other sections have to move. And just here, I think that's another area of interest. You want to know when, how fast are they actually working on that page. And for the benefit of all the other people who don't understand vernacular, the honorable member was actually trying to tell tell us about the plight of people and a special case in Pomona. I don't know if most of you know what Pomona is. Right at the tip, next to Mozambique, next to Swaziland, and next to Zimbabwe. It's right at the top. I would like to say to all the members who are here that as a member of the Provincial Executive Committee, we've dealt with taking that case up because some of us are mostly deployed to those areas. That granny is being dealt with, and we're working closely with social development. The house is about to be built, so don't bother to build it. My dear friend, we will give her a house. It will be one of those special units where they get a house with full complement of furniture in the house. We've done it for other people because she's very old, she's fragile, she might trust you. And it will then mean it's a child-headed family. So we've done all the necessary arrangements to alleviate that plight. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I think this is the time when you hear the voices of the rest of the delegation. A lot of questions have come up and a lot of input has come up, and we, honourable members, are questioning us to ensure that whatever we do translates to radical transformation of our society, both socially, politically, and economically, towards the reduction of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. My colleagues have taken a number of questions, in fact all the questions and those that relate to their respective areas. With your permission, Honourable Chair, and thank you for assisting us with the response to the Honourable Member's question in regards to the plight of the old person that was also on television. Thank you very much. Let me start by asking DDG Tony to respond to a number of questions that were raised with regards to the issue of children. And I think, yes, we are in transition. DDG, among the staff that are transferred to the Department of Social Development, and I think they've also been engaging in strategic planning within the Department of Social Development. They're also looking at how to arrange the issue of children and persons with disabilities, because as one of the members would know that the SDA did have a program that deals with children and also a program that deals with persons with disabilities, but not that look at their rights and empowerment. So they're also looking at restructuring and rearranging their programs. I know they have met on a number of times looking at how to tie in the new functions within their area of responsibility. There's a question that was asked with regards to our link with other departments, and especially the honourable member was asking with land and rural development. We've just seen a draft policy from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, and I think ODGG and Judge would respond to that, because when we looked at the policy, we gave input to the department from the minister or the minister, because we were saying it was also talking to farm workers, and we were saying it's gender neutral. It's not saying specifically female farm workers. It just says farm workers, and anything can go if it's not specific. But also it says farm workers, but there are females who are not necessarily working on the farm, who are working domestically. So what about those women? There are also women who are wives
contacted the Honourable Minister for rural development to that. So that's also our contribution as the department. But also, Travis, I think then when we can engage and we will be able to see what are we going to do going forward as the department, now that we are in the presence and we are not therefore really directly delivering service, but we are monitoring those who deliver service, so that then we discuss how we are going to engage as the portfolio in terms of then the portfolio giving oversight over our role of monitoring what is happening on the ground with regards to women. Digital.
Thank you, Jonathan. I guess mine is firstly around the friendly communities framework, and the question was what has been happening with it, and if where in China has it been implemented. The framework is to assist municipalities in particular to mainstream children's rights. And ours is to develop the framework and guide the municipalities on how and what they should do in mainstream children's rights. So we met with Swane municipality in terms of that. So we didn't go into a particular site today because we are expecting the municipality to take over the framework and then begin to domesticate it within its own programs. We are ourselves working with, as you were presenting earlier, working with Save the Children in the development of this thing, because we were looking at what other countries have done with regards to mainstreaming children's rights. And also it's informed by the fact that the level of violence against children has been quite alarming, and that this is one area that we thought that there should be free spaces for children to be and come safe. Sorry, feel safe, and that so that this is one model or framework that would use to as an instrument or tool to help municipalities. Now we are going to take the framework whilst we are being transferred to social development, and it will be part of the programs that will also or functions that we're also taking to social development. The second part of the question, or the second question, is with regards to the database Ulwazi Ngabantwana. The motivation around this is because when we were writing reports, we felt that we're not getting accurate information from departments and from provinces because there isn't clearer indicators of what has been planned for children, what has been planned for persons with disabilities. And the reason for that is that people just treat some of these key areas as by the way. So the system helps the provinces and departments to determine clearer indicators on what they are going to do and what should be measured on. And that we don't then have to go back to them and ask for the information. That the information is put onto the database, and that we manage the database, and therefore we'll be able to develop a report that would be tested with those that have inputted onto the database. That will fast track that, because we are late in fact in terms of reports. For instance, with regards to the disabled people, the report was supposed to be submitted in 2010, and it was submitted in 2013. That is the baseline report. Now, the periodic report that follows that is supposed to be submitted in May 2014. And we're not going to be able to do that. We'll only be able to maybe present that report in May 2015. So it's because of these delays that are beyond our control, and that in mitigating those delays, we're now putting the databases in detail. This was saying that there would be, because the issue that there's no disaggregation of data with regards to disability, with regards to women, with regards to people with disabilities. And therefore, this is going to help us to be able to concretize the information and make sure that it's accurate. And Ulwazi Ngabantwana, therefore, is the database that would help us with regards specifically to children, and that it's the database that is developed between us, UNICEF and SSA. And that we are in the process now. The question of why is it not launched? At the time that we were preparing to launch it, it was the time that they were preparing the candidates present for elections, and we couldn't get the full attention of the minister to be able to do that. And now we're hoping that we'll be able to launch it with the Minister of Social Development, because we're now beginning to settle as we move the functions from the Department of Women, Children and People's Disabilities to Social Development, and that we had a discussion with the minister, and that there should be staff that is trained. There's a trip that staff is supposed to take to India, so that there's a program that they're supposed to understand, so that the database is, you're able to use your computer wherever you are and pull the information, the website, web-based information. So with regards to Ulwazi Ngabantwana, that's basically what we have done.
Sorry to interject. You mentioned the involvement of the minister who's not here right now when this school has started. Am I correct?
Yes, Chair, you're correct.
Okay. What will stop you then in ensuring that the Ministry of Women in precedent are there roped in to actually understand all the steps you people are going to be taking, so that it can be imparted into this economy? Because at the end of the day, we're dealing with human beings here. I might be having a handicapped child in my own house, but I'm not having any joy in working closely with the social workers. And it can be representation, proper representation of people in this new ministry. And my dear Badouza, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but that is how I feel, and the rest of the honorable members, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I have the gut to be. With this speech, all the other good work that was done before might just fall into some dark cloud, and we'll never know what is happening. Hence, we strongly believe, though we are supposed to be doing oversight, we are still going to be doing oversight on social development.
No, thank you, Chair. I'm sure that honorable members understand that as the Department of Women, Children and People's Disabilities, and now the Department of Women, our role is to make sure that we work with all government departments, especially those that are directly working in the area of women, to facilitate mainstreaming of rights of women, children and people with disabilities. So the National Multi-Organization of State Projects, which is the project that is run by DPSA, assisted by the presidency and the treasury, is in the process of consolidating the move from Department of Women to Social Development in terms of the two functions, which is functions that has to do with persons with disabilities and another function that has to do with children. And that we are aiming that this process, as you had asked earlier, Chair, should be concluded by end of September. So that all of the functions, including the budget that goes with those functions, would be moved to social development. And UDG, for women and digital social development, are driving, are leading that process. And we are hoping, Chair, that we would be able to provide the Chair when we concluded the report, with regards to how the transition has been concluded. But we would be able to, the Department of Women would be able to work with Department of Social Development with regards to some of the areas Chair is saying. Okay.
Thank you, Chair, and Honourable Members. I think Chair is making a very valid point to say that as an oversight body of a department, which is an oversight, which is an oversight function, I think as a portfolio committee, you've got the right to call other departments so that they can tell you what they're doing on issues relating to women. So that would also be useful.
Thanks. The other question was with regards to the work that is not reflected on the report that was presented by DG with regards to rights of persons with disabilities. And that the report of the work that has been done, especially with regards to the work that we do with the Deputy Minister, The report has been done, but unfortunately we could not include it in the report that UDG was presenting because it does not necessarily directly speak to the targets that we had committed with regards to this period. But I am sure that those areas with regards to the work that we did with universities and LET colleges, we could make it available to the portfolio committee. The other work that we also did was with regards to provinces, that we would want to make sure that provinces are aligned to what the issues that have to do with mainstreaming the rights of persons with disabilities and also speak to what we are doing with regards to consolidating the policy that seeks to domesticate the UN Convention into the work of government in South Africa as we are signatory to the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So that work is captured into a report and would be able to make those reports available. And they've been quite critical because it has actually now sensitized universities, including the availability of NSFAS funds, which is the bursary specifically for disabled students, which necessitated us to push the universities or NSFAS structure to make sure that if I'm a quad, which is both my arms and legs, cannot function, my personal attendant is therefore used as an assistive device, which is not the case currently. So all of those things are now included in the manual that NFS is doing. So I think members, honorable members are correct to say we don't know these things. And it makes it difficult for us to make sure that we share the information in the constituencies that we serve so that they know. Because most of the issues that are impacting negatively in our communities because our communities in most cases don't understand their rights as honorable was saying earlier on. I think those are some of the areas that we could do in terms of making sure that there is. I'm not sure whether there is any other issues. I think those are
look at the red book.
Yes.
You want to talk to that?
Thanks, TJ. I guess one of the issues that we have noticed is that if you look at the annual report of departments, there are important work that is being done, but we actually are constrained in the manner that the template of the annual report is presented. Well, it's presented in blocks that you just feed information into those blocks. But as you are not able to present the good story, as the president would put it. And you're not able to follow kind of the storyline as the then Minister Travanya would say, that if you're able to present the storyline, you're able to make people understand where do we come from and where are we now, because the storyline is clearer to people and it makes sense. So we're trying to do that now. That's why DG is saying that we are now developing a platform. Those things that we can say, this is what we're doing in communities. This is how we are in this current administration, providing a radical transformation, economic and social economic transformation. And that these are some of the things that we want to test, so that the honorable members are able to say to us, no. For us, this is not radical transformation. You know, these are the things that you need to change in the way that you do things, because you seem to be doing things like before. So I think those are some of the things that would have come and present to honorable members and to the portfolio committee, so that we're able to be guided, because you're able to see from outside in the way that we're doing. So we will be able to do that, I think, in terms of the playbook, and articulate those things that we're not able to present it in a slideshow.
Thank you, DCG.
Thanks, Roger, and thanks, DCG. I will respond to the question on the Japan-Africa initiative. This is an initiative that was started last in this meeting that was attended by one woman in business who's in chicken business in a rural area of the Eastern Cape, born Kigali, and supported by a chief director in our department. So it was only one woman who attended. And it was a seminar in which the collaboration between Japan and Africa was going to conceptualize. So this is an initiative that is thought to be started to be implemented, will be implemented in 2015 to provide skills in business for women. It will be an exchange program. So that meeting that was attended by the two was an initiation meeting, a seminar to conceptualize the program, basically. So what should happen now is a follow-up and between the two countries and the two representatives through our department sign off the collaboration. It's not only South Africa, it's other African countries involved in this program. So that's basically it was an initiation meeting to conceptualize the program. So they had not started, the program was started in 2015 to exchange program for skill development for women in business.
Thank you so very much. While she were actually explaining that, is there a program, the roll-up program, so we can get our people from other provinces? Because you started with the Eastern Cape.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not sure if she wasn't in Japan, we had to go to Japan, Africa. Okay, yes. What I was saying is that after the conceptualization, then the program has to be agreed to between the countries, the African countries with Japan, and then there would then be a program that says identify women who have entered the business area to be skilled in certain business skills development, and that will be rolled over across the country.
So I think the department will help them to decide how we equitably allow and give everybody an opportunity. The department we use operate using the WAD Women in Agriculture and Rural Development Forum, which has a constituency within our members within each province, with a chairperson, a treasurer, and also a national structure, and that structure will exist. It allows us to reach out to women with interest in becoming the business owners or those we have already entered. So we may continue using that system because it allows us to reach to those women. Thanks.
I think with regards to Japan, also there was a tour that was done by the department with regards to disabled people, especially those that have mental disabilities. So there's a model and concept that Japanese are using in ensuring that kids that come out of school, especially mentally disabled kids, are given economic opportunities. And that when we came back, we then called contact with DP Cement and a school in Forest Town in Joburg. And that is where the transfer of that model is working. And that those kids are now running a business using that school, and that it's a kind of an incubator, and that they would from there be able to go into open labor markets because they've been able to be trained in, like they would fix in old computers so that they can be given to schools. So that's a clear example, Chair, of what some of these international educations are adding value to the work and the work of the government with regards to empowering people.
Thank you, Lizzie. There's a lot of questions directed to corporate management, ranging from the survey to the turnaround strategy, number of vacancies, and which I think you would assist to fulfill and respond to. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. G. Okay, I'll start the turnaround. The question was what are the outstanding items or activities from turnaround as we are now in the new administration. We had to do the skills audit, the end-to-end process mapping, and we also needed to develop systems. But what we had done, for instance, the turnaround had a particular objective, which was to improve the department's ability to achieve its planned target and also to achieve a clean audit. Those are the two primary objectives. And we phased it into three phases where we're saying the first phase was to fight, or it was crisis, a firefighting phase, you know, the first phase, and then the second one was to then stabilize, and then the third one was to sustain what we had. We identified a number of projects in the firefighting phase, and those included, because at the time, too, we were overspending the department. So those also included making sure that we spend within the budget, allocated budget. And a lot of work was done to make sure that we were overspend mostly on compensation, and with compensation the challenges that once you hire the people, you have to pay them. So we're sitting with that challenge. So, and this response relates, it will also answer the question that was raised with regards to the anomaly between structure between administration and core. As most of the expenditure was within administration and we're staff with those people, so we then had to deal with the warm body. So eventually we were given some additional 12,000 money, which we were told it should be prioritized towards strengthening governance within administration and also to cover the overspend. So then that's how we're able to strike a balance between the people that we've hired and the money that we had.
Policy wise, you don't use most of your budget money. I'll put it in simple language because that is across the board. Now, are you working around actually reducing most money being used for, as you call it, compensation, adhering to the process? Because whatever happens, the AG will come after.
Thanks, Chair. In the new... No, all right. So, we can say that we managed to achieve that bigger picture objective, which was to make sure that we improve the number of targets achieved and to work towards a clean audit. We are not a clean audit phase yet, but we are progressively addressing audit findings, because you also need to view the progress made on the turnaround against what was prevailing at the time. So at the moment now we can have an audit, a plan to address the audit findings that is being managed at an audit committee level. So you will also see when we present the annual report that the level of targets achieved has been improving over the years, at least a minimum of 10%. We stalled on the field audit, Chair, because while we were working, we were going to do it with the DPSA. And while we were busy working with the DPSA, then we had the moratorium, I mean the change of administration. Because the skills that it has to be done within the context of service delivery. Now that we've had the change of mandate, we're working on the infrastructure, which is basically radical transformation. And from there, once we've agreed with the DPSA to say, okay, fine, this is the structure that you're going to get, and we have the money, then we work with what we currently have, we do a proper skills audit, and as we know that the skills audit says, if you find that people don't have skills, and you work towards saying, are these skills that we can provide within a short time, you know, how can people be moved around. So that is then, so this item has been carried over to this new administration. And also then eventually we will also do the end-to-end process mapping. Systems in terms of the monitoring evaluation system, you know, we're still working on that as well. But that has been stopped again because our IT capacity is not yet required. So it's been carried over to the new administration. We did a lot of work on staff cohesion, because one of the things that we also identified in the turnaround was to say that people need to be motivated to be able to do the work, and that the department needed to deal with performance management, so as to also make sure that those that are working hard, you know, are not demotivated by the fact that the department does not deal with poor performance. So, as you will see when we plan the annual report, we'll also cover progress made in terms of pertinent management. There is also a question on what is the current vacancy rate. It's currently at 13.2, and it's a very difficult target to manage, because you are also at the same time faced with resignation, and most of the time, they're not necessarily because people are unhappy, but because we find that we're not able to give, to counter what the other departments are giving them. And especially now with the change of administration, the new administration, we've had a number of colleagues moving and they're being offered higher salaries than what we could afford or what we could offer them within the prescribed. However, it is a target that we are working very hard at it. And then that takes me to the next question on the staff satisfaction survey, to say what are the concerns. I would not necessarily have all of them shared, but I would just highlight the ones that stood out a lot. They raised issues relating to leadership and management. And let me first explain the nature of the survey. It was not probing. We would ask the question and say rate it on a scale of 1 to 5. If you are satisfied, it's a 3. From a 3 to 5, then you are very satisfied. But 2 and a 1, then those are people that are not satisfied. But we would not then ask a reason why. So they raise leadership and management, they raise job satisfaction, non-conducive working environment, remuneration, and details that prospects for promotion were very low within the department. And then what we then did was to help a workshop, you know, to try and have an open conversation with staff to say, what is it that people mean and what can be done differently? On remuneration, for instance, this was a very difficult one because we were saying within government, you have set salaries. So if you advertise a post at a particular level, you have to stay at that level. You can't, there's not much room to move. So we told staff to say, what exactly do you mean? And they said, so basically what we mean is that, you know, because there's not sufficient staff within the organization, I end up doing the work of maybe 2 people. So I feel that I'm not adequately remunerated for the work that I do. And then we were also, oh, so a lot of work was done in terms of, for instance, the committee will remember those that were part of the delegation that went to our offices, the way in which our offices looked at the time. And then since then, a lot of work has been done to improve. And when the survey was done, it was before the improvements were done. And then the next question related to the brand awareness survey that we conducted. Yesterday we will share something with the comment. Yes. And then with regards to the staff, something that we are not addressing or overdressing, and we feel that maybe the over expenditures with regards to the fact that the government was top heavy. As I explained how we ended up with the structure that we had, but in the new administration now, we have come up with a new structure and it's designed on a pyramid model. And also to make sure that we have enough people at the technical level so that we address the top heavy perception. Okay. Then there was a question on the that we did with social development, that there's a perception that anyway people still use transport grants for other purposes other than supporting the child. Maybe what we can explain is how the survey was done. It was done on a consultation basis. It was a group of women within a particular age group, and a sample that we felt represented was an enough sample to provide a representation of the women. They were interviewed. It was a number of workshops nationally. It was also done, I think, with the assistance of the UN family. The funders. So women were asked, what do you use? So it was a confidential survey as well, in the sense that people were not asked to disclose who they were, even though it's a workshop like this. And they were told that the information is not going to be used against them, to sort of decide that the survey, I mean, the child support grant should be discontinued. On it was just a fact finding survey. So this finding is what came out of those conversations with the women. In as far as then the court is concerned, it was found that it is quite useful in most households, and actually there are households that if they were not to receive this child support grant, they would go hungry. And then I think those are all details that I had, unless there's one that I'm forgetting.
There's a question that has been asked about the Chief of the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence. And I think that the minister had pronounced on the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence that she was looking at it and with a view to apply her mind and decide against the reviewed mandate of the department where the council is best placed. She has asked us to develop for her a report starting from why the council was established, what processes were involved, who is in membership, what has been done to date in the council, and also a benchmark against other similar structures in the organization, your FANAC, for instance, your CSSA council and other councils that we can benchmark against, so that she gets the holistic picture in terms of the council and what it was established for, how it was established, what were the purposes, what has been achieved to date, so that then she can apply her mind in terms of recommendations going forward. We've just completed that exercise, and I was really coming through what colleagues had come up with. It's quite interesting. But also, she also wanted to find out what other structures in the country. For instance, you had an interdepartmental monitoring team that was set up under the auspices of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, half of the APA. What are it to that structure? So that we avoid duplicating efforts. Are there any other structures that we can use that will be able to address the purpose of fighting GBV? So that's where we are as far as that's concerned. And also what is clear is that the structure was established without funding. There was never any funding allocated to the Council Against Gender-Based Violence. So those are the things that the minister is applying her mind on. And we've got a huge report with a supporting documentation that we are going to present to her so that she can then discuss with her political principals as well and decide on the future of the council. So that's where we are at the moment. We know that we appointed a CEO on funding. That's another thing, donor funding. And you can't sustain anything of nature through donor funding. You have to have your own seed funding, so that if there is any donor funding, it's additional. So we will provide with the honourable members with a response as soon as a proper decision has been taken as far as that is concerned. When we go to the UNCSW, after that, we do bring and develop the report. Whenever members of the cabinet go to these international obligations or visits, for the standing request from the president that within 7 days upon return, a report would be submitted to the president. So that's our turnaround time in terms of developing a report. So we report to the president. We have reported to the president on the UNCSW of 2014. And then we also develop a report that we share with the other departments through our Forum of South African Directors General, and then also share with cabinet. We would bring a report to the portfolio committee. I remember last year we brought a report on the UN Conference of State Parties. So I think the honourable members could ask us to come and present a report, especially get the background that we are preparing for the next CSW as well. We are
also back into ministers of the that we give a roadmap in terms of preparation for the next system. So we've got that we have to give to minister. That will also draw from the report of the previous ESW. As we know, this time around, we're going to be focusing on the 20th since the Beijing Platform for Action. We're also looking at the end of the Millennium Development Goals period. So those are the things that we think that will be coming up. Although we have not, when we go to the ESW website, we have not seen yet what they are going to be focusing on. We're just thinking that those are the areas that will be of focus this time around. The dedication for the current, or for this past UNCSW, there were two processes. The first one was the discussion of the CSWs and the normal concluding of the patients, but there was also a discussion on the HIV and AIDS and women in health. The resolution that was what the budget, yeah, the budget resolution on women and girls and HIV and AIDS. So we were split between the two. I remember two colleagues would go and be part of those discussions, especially with the African food lobbying day, going to the bigger forum. And then two colleagues would then be sitting with other team that were lobbying for this resolution. What do you do to resolution? This target resolution on women and girls and HIV and AIDS. So there were contested debates. We were really entered the very tough the discussions and deliberations, such that we had to put to vote, especially the one on women and girl target HIV and AIDS. There was very strong resolutions and discussions there, which is the static sponsored resolution on UN women, on women and girls and HIV and AIDS. So we had those four of the dedications were focused on those two discussions. And then we also had 5 years that we, as South Africa, were hosting. And we had the pleasure of being joined by the UN Executive, UN Women Executive Director. So one was on science and technology, with girls in STEM. So we would need dedicated officials that are going to make sure that process is running smoothly. There were two side events that we were hosting. So this time we really had roles, clearly defined roles and responsibilities for each of the members of the delegation that went to the UNCSW. And I think it worked well because we could be able to divide ourselves between all these negotiations that were going on. Hence, going forward to also even improve further. Minister is saying, let's start now preparing and crafting that roadmap so that we are clear with the delegation going to 2050, who is going to do what. Of course, we have the CGE in their role as monitoring and oversight function. I think they also sent two delegates from the Commission on the Gender Equality. So they also had two delegates that were monitoring and overseeing what was happening at the CSW in 2014. I think that covers that question.
And Jefferson, you asked a specific one. Children that get sexually active at an early age. I think we need a debate on that one. We really need to debate on that one and talk about it. And have a conversation and see what we can do. What are the challenges? As you had alluded to, sometimes it's children being molested. And I was listening to a program driving to the other day, and this child was anonymous and was saying that I was molested by my stepfather, but my mother did not believe it. I had to flee from home and stay with my aunt now, and my mother does not believe it. I'm sitting in that situation. What do I do? I would like to be close to my mother. My father is not... with my mother was also not concerned, very busy living his own life. So I think it's a societal challenge that we really need to start talking about it, and it comes to us as well as mothers. You know, how do we address these issues? What do we do with it that we need to, what radical transformation do we need to have in our societies in terms of these issues? So I'm hoping that if we could have that conversation and engagement so that we can come up with strategies on how it talks to the moral regeneration, it talks to a lot of issues. Lastly, there was a question around the report from the Department of Social Development. I know that the Department of Social Development, you will recall that it was an interministerial committee that was set up by Cabinet to look at the root causes of gender-based violence, or violence against women and children, in the last administration. So, and it was headed by the Minister for Social Development, that interministerial committee. So what they did then, with assistance of development partners, was to commission the University of Cape Town to do what they call the structural determinant analysis research, call it SDA, to look at the root causes of violence against women and children. So I am sure that is the report that the Honourable Member was referring to. I have not seen it digitized on that report yet. But the committee has got the right to invite the Department of Social Development, especially because it talks to the violence against women and children, to come and present that report to them so that they get a sense of what is it that has been found. I did not know that that has been finalized. I knew that UCT was commissioned by the Department of Social Development to look into that area, the root cause of violence against women and children. Thank you, Chief Justice. The other question that came from one honourable member was, where are the field workers, people on the ground, in terms of staffing? But I think the DG has touched on that. We've gone and visited our renewed mandate and focusing on monitoring and evaluation of not just government, but South Africa at large, in terms of what is happening towards the socio-economic empowerment of women. And then when we do that, we are going to need skilled people. We are going to need economists to be able to analyze the economic empowerment of women from an economic perspective. We are going to need social scientists to look at the social empowerment of women. So, yes, we have people on the ground, but our work will more or less analyzing what is happening, identifying the gaps, and giving that report back to South Africa to say, this is where you stand. Honourable members will recall that the President has given us an order to research on the status of women and present that by August 2015. So we need to do research and we need to strengthen our research capacity and research that will be informed by people who understand what we're talking about when we talk about economic empowerment of women, what we're talking about when we talk about socio-political empowerment of women, so that we present to the nation the status of women. We have to work towards that. I was told that the report that has been published by the Mapungubwe Institute that talks about South Africa since 1994, and that report has got a section that talks about women. The section titles the evolution of South Africa. I still have to get hold of that. But I just learned about that on Sunday. But I still have to get hold of that published report, which was a study that was conducted by the Mapungubwe Institute. And they say within that study, there's a section that talks about the women empowerment or the status of women since 1994. So it would make a good starting point for us when we are going to develop this report for the President to be launched in August 2015. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you.
ngibonga Chef. Into engizocela ukuthi mhlawumbe nge-next time babuyekela sisize ngayo. Kunalaba omama abanomkhuba wokuthi bathathe iy'ngane bayiholele zokuthi bayiholela ngasekeleni. Kodwa uthole ukuthi bahambe cela nazo iy'ngane ukuthi ingalishile imiyalento amamnene, especially thina le-Durban baphila ngaleyo nto. Igcine lengane le inomkhuba wokwazi ukuthi ayicabanele ukuthi ngathi ingane ikwazi ukuyimela nokuba usikhutheni. Ukuthi ngeke isize ukuthi kuqala abantu sasityana baboshwa ukuthi ke nimonishte ama-social worker ukuthi abahuphe abantu ngoba ba-abuse izingane ngamanigaba nalokhu kuyingane keyidlala ndawonye nobaba bedlwengulana endlini nazo ziyadlwengula uma ithi yakhuluma ingane singakhulumi yile babahlala bo-one room olindela. Ngiyabonga.
Understood some of it, but not all. I don't know. Thank you.
Thanks, Jefferson, Honourable Member.
During the year, you see that we do pick up.
However, I have to say that compared to the other financial year, we've done very well, much better as a department. So, overall, this pie illustrates the overall performance of the department for the first quarter, and we think that in this quarter we planned a total of 30 targets, and we achieved 18, which represents 60% of the total target. Those that were not achieved is 40%. And then also in terms of expenditure, we spent at least 21% of the budget. And if we can see the 20%, the total budget for the 2014-15 year is 218, and that includes 218 million, which includes the Commission on the Gender Equality and the Commission on the Gender Equality. Now, what we have spent is 46 million, and our projection was that we would spend at least 50 million per person. And the projection is basically an estimate, and we are quite happy to share that for the first time we are within that projection. We have not exceeded, at least we are at 21%. You would remember that in the past we would have a little bit of an over expenditure, but now we are containing it. So if I go program by program, for administration, the total targets that were planned were 16 targets, and out of those we achieved 12, and this represents 75%. And in the past, the administration would be 50% during this quarter. So we had achieved, but basically what we said as a department is to say, every quarter at least we must meet 80% of our target, which is the norm. And then in terms of performance, financial performance for program one, we had projected to spend at least 23 million rands, and for the first quarter the actual expenditure was 22 million with an under expenditure of 1.8 million. And we are saying that this program spent at least 23% of its budget for the first quarter. Now, when we go to the targets, the first target there for this year, for this quarter, under the Council on Gender-Based Violence, we had planned that GBV awareness data and studies will be initiated and finalized. This target is not achieved, and the reason for that is that we found that we had underestimated the work required for the baseline study. However, we did initiate the baseline study. We requested quotations, and also we drafted terms of reference, looking for the service provider. However, in the process of looking for quotations, we learned at least things require a period of about 24 months. So this is the target then that we thought that we were not very smart with it, so it's not achieved. And then the second one was that it relates to the development of the National Strategic Plan to end gender-based violence. And for the first quarter, we planned to appoint a service provider. And indeed, this was done. We appointed the HSRC to do the study. However, as it had indicated, remember these were targets from the previous administration. So this target again is going to be affected in the next quarter, and it's one of the things that will then require the department to come back to the Control Committee and say we are proposing an amended ATP given the changed mandate. The next one is one that we have seen again in the fourth quarter that DG has presented. We see most of the targets in administration, we keep them throughout the year. So the one related to the number of challenge general audit reports issued on the 3-year plan. which is, as you mentioned, is a risk-based audit. We had planned to issue one report, and that report was issued, and the sales are achieved. The next one also relates to the number of follow-up audits issued and tabled to the audit committee. This follow-up audit is where there has been findings, and then they are following up on what management has done. So this one again, we had planned one report, and it was achieved. And the next one is the percentage of service providers stay within the 30%, 30 days in a month. This is a target that most departments share, and we know that it's reported at the cabinet level. And it is a very big challenge. However, there's been some progress made in terms of monitoring invoices. And for this quarter, we had planned to pay 100% of our service providers within the 30 days. And they, at this particular point, it is to be 21.7%. There is a challenge in terms of the delay in submitting the invoices back to finance, because even though we're chasing to pay service provider share, we have to make sure that we're paying the right person the right amount and the services have been rendered. So we're still starting to get the turnaround in terms of people returning these invoices to finance is still a challenge. And the corrective measures that we put there is the invoice tracking register has been implemented to monitor the date and to fit off the invoices up to the date of payment from the second court. We also need to mention that the other challenge relates also to the service providers themselves not giving accurate banking details, because we as a department have to work with National Treasury to verify the banking details, you know, on the safety net of government. So most of the time we find that while the service provider is giving you all the information, it gets rejected by the system to say something is wrong with the banking detail. So that's one of the things that are causing challenges. However, now we are saying that is a problem that is external. It's not necessarily departmental. So hence there we only highlighted the issue of internal turnaround for submission of invoices. The next one, okay, this is a target that you see nicely when you look at the four quarters, because we are saying the performance indicator is the percentage of deviation and expenditure against allocated funding. And we say for the year, we should not exceed 5%. So if we plan to spend a particular amount, we should not underspend by more than 5%, or should not overspend by 5%, by more than 5%. However, we know that overspending is a no-no, it's not allowed. So, however, quarterly we are saying that we're going to use the India monitoring system, which is a report that we fix and compile. It assists us to monitor what has been projected, what is being paid, how much are we left with. And that report gets taken to the accounting officer and the minister as well, and then eventually gets sent to leaders. And this is an important target as well for government, because if you don't stick to it, you get reported at cabinet as well. So we are saying, and it should be submitted timely, because the timeliness of it is also an issue that gets reported to cabinet, hence it's elevated at the strategic level. So it's achieved, and we say we spent in accordance with the projected expenditure. However, the deviation was at least 2%, which is still within that 5% that we said, at least in the year, it should not be more than 5%. However, in the quarter, during the year, we don't even focus on the percentage. We say we must submit a report timely and we must make sure that expenditure is monitored. The next one is the one that CJ was referring to in this particular section, to say the percentage of reduction of vacancy rate. At the end of the financial year, what we have reduced, we want to keep the vacancy rate at an acceptable minimum of 10%, because the principle is that skill is mobile. So as the, from time to time, people leave an organization, you know. But it should not be, your vacancy rate should not be more than 10%. And we're saying we want to make sure that we keep it at 10%. In the first quarter, we said it was removing from a high vacancy rate in the previous financial years. And we then, but mainly to reduce it, as if you had recorded when she was doing the annual, the fourth quarter, we reduced it by 14%. But when we started the year again, we had resignation. So we said, in the first quarter, at least let's keep it at 14%. And this target you'll see as the year goes, it reduces, this percentage, it reduces by the end of the year, our vacancy rate is at 10%. So we say it's achieved because by the end of this quarter, the vacancy rate was 13.2. And then the next one was also to say, everybody is talking 50-50 in government targets, I mean in government employment targets. Also the department we need to, in the example, and elevate this strategic level. So we had planned that the percentage of women employed in senior management positions will be at a minimum of 50%. And this indeed is achieved because our women in the senior management level are at 60.5%. And then also we measured the target of the percentage of persons with disabilities employed in the department, and we said we need to keep this continuously at 3% for all the quarters, and also at the end of the year should be at a minimum of 2%. And as you can see, it's achieved because the department employed to 4.6% at the end of the quarter. And then we have this target that talks to the percentage of compliance with occupational health and safety standards. The rest of the target that was responding to findings as well that were done on occupational health and safety, and a number of things were identified as not existing and needed to be put in place. And it became a target that the development needed to be realistic and say, we do not own the building. However, what are the things that we can do to improve the health and safety standards within the department so that we minimize the possibility of occupational diseases and injuries in the workplace? So for the first quarter, we then said we will appoint a new security service provider, and also we'll install an X-ray machine. These machines assist us to also ensure that whoever goes into the department is not carrying a dangerous weapon that can be used against staff members. And also make sure that you have a physical security service provider available to ensure that entry is monitored in the organization. We also identify that that's important. And so this was achieved as the focus that the new service provider was appointed and assumed duties on the 1st of April. And the members might ask why it is important that we now have a new service provider. We also have historical issues in relation to security and the service providers appointed. So the department identified this something that needed to be addressed, and we did appoint the service provider. We also installed X-ray machines and metal detectors, and this was done within April. And then we then said, for the department to deliver on its mandate, we rely on ICT systems, and these should be available all the time. We know that in the nature of ICT, sometimes you try to send an email and you're told the emails are not working. There's planned maintenance on the ICT system. So we say, at least we should be guaranteed that 95% of the time within the quarter, the systems are available and people are able to access them. And we say this was achieved because according to the information that we have through the CETA service level agreement, the network was up at least 98% of the time. Then the second relates to our stakeholder coordination and international relations coordination. And we said that in this quarter, the performance agenda is a number of reports coordinated and facilitated for an inclusive participation of all sectors at local, national, regional, multilateral, and bilateral levels, as well as on treaty obligations. And in this particular quarter, we planned that we will facilitate the participation at the 7th conference of state parties. And this was achieved, and it relates to the rights of people with disabilities. And we're saying the facilitation and participation at UN 7th quarter this Commission on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities was facilitated on the 10th of, from the 10th to the 12th of June 2014. So SDG has said these conferences will then be followed by a report that then goes to Cabinet. And the next target is one that we also need to come back. The committee will remember that when we presented the ADP last time, this target were advised that we need to change the annual target to 60% instead, and to 100% instead of 60%. It led to the percentage of presidential hotline service delivery complaints resolved. And we are saying that at the moment we don't have any recorded complaints, and we did report previously that we resolved 100% of all the complaints raised on the service delivery hotline. However, this is one of the challenges that we want to come back and amend so that it reads to say that the department must maintain its zero outstanding complaints data, because from between the first quarter and the fourth quarter of last year, we have not had any new cases, and as a result, we are not able to align our response to the 20%. However, if we phrase it in the manner that we say we must maintain the 0% of outstanding complaints, then we would be able to come back to the committee and say there is a complaint that came and we resolved it, or in this quarter we have not had any complaints from the public. So that's why we say it's achieved, as there were no new cases lodged with the presidential hotline. And then the next one relates to the number of anti-corruption initiatives championed. For the year, we said we should have 4 anti-corruption initiatives championed. Then for this quarter, we have said that we targeted to establish an internal whistleblowing mechanism on the internet and the website. This is to encourage staff members to raise issues if they detect any kind of corruption within the department. They should be able to anonymously blow the whistle using the internet or the website. And this was achieved because an internal whistleblowing mechanism has been developed on our intranet. The next one relates to an approved 2014 communication strategy, and the target there for the quarter of the first draft of the 2014 communication strategy developed and consulted. This was not achieved. The process was put on hold pending confirmation of the new mandate, and as a way forward, we are saying that we need to revise this indicator, because the communication strategy must talk to the organizational strategy plan. And as we have been given guidance by the PME to say that hold on to the strategy plan until the new administration is in place. So this target was then supposed to wait for that process. So we would then, in the process of trying to resolve this, come back to the commission, to the committee, and present an amended APM. The next one is also similar. It relates to the research agenda finalized and implemented. And for the quarter, we have planned to have a research agenda developed and approved. And it's not approved because we did develop a research agenda based on the old mandate. And while we were consulting, members will recall that the reconsideration was announced in May, which is mid-term. So within the quarter. So then we had to stop and then wait until we know we have a finalized mandate or a confirmed new mandate. So the document will then be resubmitted for approval as the mandate has now been confirmed. So the main achievements under Program 1 relate mainly to the work that has been done under the Council on gender-based violence. We say that the Advisory Committee for the Development of the NSD was set up to ensure quality control a total of 67 participants availed themselves in June 2014 to contribute to land remuneration. The advisory committee will operate at three levels, mainly strategic, operational, quality control, and oversight. What was important for us as an organization here was that this was a successful partnership between government and civil society. Because on these matters, on issues of gender-based violence, we've always sometimes found that we're speaking in different tones, and it was always difficult to get everybody rallying towards the same objective. So here we worked very hard to coordinate these consultations and work with civil society, and there was a lot of cooperation, as we think that people were even prepared to avail themselves without even remuneration. And then the next point is that on the 21st of June 2014, a successful meeting was held between the Joint Gender Fund and the Development Partners and Civil Society members to strengthen the extensive provincial consultation of the draft NSP through supporting projects that will reach 9 provinces that the HSRC will reach. What we are trying to control here, Shepherd, as we know in the past, the department would have to question some kind of research that would come up funded by maybe the development partners that we felt that was not fully reflective of what was happening on the ground. So it was important for us to sit down with them and agree and say this is how we will approach the consultation, the provincial consultation, and where they had concerns, because remember they were not part of the HSRC, but they had an interest. So where they had a concern that the HSRC would not necessarily cover an acceptable sample, they then came up with an alternative to say, this is how we can then supplement what the HSRC is doing. So that everybody, at the end of the day, we have a report that is credible, the government is also credible. Okay, thank you, Professor. This program group. Thank you.
Thanks, teacher. Thanks, Chairperson. The Women Empowerment and Gender Equality branch planned 7 targets for the first quarter and only achieved 3. our expenditure was 22%, which is exactly the same amount of percentage that was projected for the quarter. The first key performance indicator was on a 50-50 parity guideline that was supposed to be developed. The team went as far as conducting research in order to be able to develop a guideline, so we have not managed to, at the end of the quarter, develop a guideline, but we have conducted some research to inform the guidelines. We had also targeted to reach out to women in terms of empowering women with information on their rights and to ensure that we eliminate discrimination. And the annual target is 30,000 women reached to promote women's rights and empowerment as well as gender equality. For quarter one, the target was 5,000 and we did not reach that number. We only reached about 3.7 women through a number of interactions that we've had. So this was not achieved because the number didn't reach 5,000 in quarter one. The other indicator that we had planned was to implement programs for women's economic empowerment. And we had planned in this quarter to engage the Department of Trade and Industry and Economic Development Department. But we had not managed to meet with the two departments, but instead worked on the basis of programs to initiate empowerment of women. We have worked with women on the Coca-Cola project, where the plan is to empower women with business skills by 2025, million women by 2020. We've also worked with Department of Communication and Intel on the ICT, where we're going to engage young women. So these are more conceptualization phases of this project for empowering women. And we also had a session with CGE
Department of Agriculture on One Women, One Hectare project, where we're looking at women access to land. So we did not achieve this mainly because we have not met with the Department of Trade and Industry and Economic Development. The other key performance indicator was on gender mainstreaming, and we're trying to this quarter to finalize, actually consult on the review of the national policy for women, common and gender equality. This is the 2000 policy that was approved by cabinet. We plan to review it, but we have not finalized that process. The same with the women empowerment and gender equality mainstream strategy, which we have a draft, but has outstanding things like indicators that we needed to finalize. So we didn't finalize this KPI in this quarter. We also have performance indicator for capacity building and institutional support. The target for this quarter was to develop a gender responsive budgeting framework as per the cabinet resolution that we should come up with a gender responsive budgeting framework. There's a draft in place, but this has been achieved. The performance indicator is initiatives for empowerment of young women. We have a report on the intake of young women in the science, technology, engineering and math field, and this is where we engage private sector, for example, and even parastates like Transnet to take on board young girls and expose them to those careers in those fields. But also we engage one young girl in the Sri Lanka Youth Conference with issues of mentoring. Young women's issues was engaged. We also, the last performance indicator for this branch was a status report on women empowerment and gender equality. And this year we have targeted two reports. And in this quarter we targeted one report. We have a report on mainstreaming women in the economic sector that was done with departments that are trusted under the economic sector that we have developed. Some of the main achievements is the participation of the department in Angola at the AU Head of State Summit in Malabo, and also participation of young women in the youth conference in Sri Lanka, and also participation of where we get the science, the young girls participate in the science subject. So it was an initiative where the former minister met with some stakeholders at the Mutan High School, and there were some young girls which were then taken up into the Techno Girl program.
Thank you, Chair. With regards to children's rights and responsibilities, we plan to do 5 targets and we've achieved 3. And these are to do with regards to us mainstreaming the National Plan of Action for Children, which we couldn't do because we had to look at the reconfiguration in terms of function of children with disability moving social development. And then we also have the next one, which is social campaigns, which has to do with National Children's Health Protection Week, which was held in Calabora. We did it with social development. And then the next one was with regards to the National MNE Interdepartmental One Forum conducted, and we did the report on the provincial in East London on the 5th of June, and then also 2 municipalities were also workshopped on the MNE. Well, I had reported on Ulas Ngabadwa, now we still not have launched that. And then the third achievement that we have was on the dialogue with regards to the AU report, which we had to do with the civil society as a requirement, so that as we go and report in Addis, we're able to say, yes, we've contacted civil society. Those are the achievements with regards to CRR Chair. And in regards to Program 4, which is the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which planned two for the quarter, we achieved one and we've not achieved the other one that we planned. And this has to do with consultation and dialogue with stakeholders with regards to the disability rights policy, and this chair we have achieved. And what we have not achieved is the strategy on the employment of persons with disabilities. And those are the two. I thank you.
Thank you, President. Okay. Thank you very much, DG and your team. Can we have members asking questions? Member.
Thank you very much. This isn't a question as much as just a request. I feel that we're running out of time. Some of us have other meetings too. And I wondered whether, you know, I don't think we can rush this in a couple of minutes. Could we not postpone this to a subsequent meeting?
Can we ask questions? Other members?
Thank you, Chief. Let me thank you, the department, for the fruitful presentation. But what is not clear to me, Chair? I'm not sure whether that focus is in a middle aged woman or in a younger woman. Because I discovered that they always say in the young women or young women. But what about the middle aged woman?
Thank you. I just need that clarity from them. Other members? Good morning, Alicia. How come you are not going to be able to do this? NPO, nama NGOs. Actually, I'm not going to be able to do this. Kululuhlelo lwey'ngane nalabantu abadala. Instead of that, bona nje iyahamba iyanikezwayo kodwa isizi nalutho emphakathini. Ukuthi ayikhona indlela engake mamonitho ngawo labo bantu. Lakhe nje la ngamla khona khona i-NPO NGO iqoqa lezi ngane ezeyibrazil. Lezi ngane i-CP iyazama ukuthi zaphela ukuthi bahlumelelisa izimilo egcineni. Kuthola ukuthi kugcina yena lo muntu. Ilabo futhi labo bantu abanjalo ukuthi bayadela ngalezi ngane igcwele emgwaqweni ezinhlwempu. Khona inkampani nje sethekwindlo ma ngibuye ma ngabe nivuma ngolilethela legama layo. Iyadla inefeshe izisiphithe iy'ngane zishuthe iy'thombe zithi ziyalambe ma kubo zondla umndeni. Ishike nje ukuthi kuyiyona ethola inzuzo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, Chairperson, I just want to go back again to the issue of children, which I think is very, very important. I want to find out from the department, do you have any programs that are in place that deal with the issue of children that are getting exposed to drugs, and especially cigarette smoking? Because I understand that lately the death rate has increased in children that die of tobacco use products, but tobacco products. Is there any programs in place, especially the rest in schools and the churches, through the education department to educate kids regarding the dangers of tobacco use? I remember when I was in high school when I was experimenting with cigarette smoking, I saw a program, I think it was called Showdown, and for me that was radical, because when you look at it, you'll never go smoke again, and I'm not smoking, so that do you have these radical programs, and to educate these youth about the danger about smoking, and also keep the clothes there, okay, in homes, with parents are smoking on top of children, because as secondary smokers, you know, it's not even affected worse, and also the tuck shops in our communities, and small shops that are selling cigarettes, selling to our kids, selling to school, selling even school kids walking from school smoking cigarettes while even wearing a uniform. Is there any program to educate the youth regarding the dangers of smoking? Thank you.
Thank
can I answer, Mr. Robinson? It's not that I'm dismissing you. It's just that the next week there's also other agencies that are supposed to present, so it won't be possible for the department to come back. So if you can just bear with us and then just give us until half past. We'll make sure that at half past we leave.
I think I will have to excuse myself, but do carry on. I will ask my colleague to assist. Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to to ask the department that next time when they come around, it would be good to have a presentation of all the different programs that they're involved in to find out what the impact that they had, like, and also the outcome, and also the budget that have been that is allocated for that particular program, and the role that they play, so that, you know, we have a clear idea of what the programs are all about. So because, like, you know, I just feel like now we feel like, you know, we are kind of lost with the presentation that they're giving me. That's my feeling. But it would be nice really for them to just show us the impact, the outcome, and also the budgets that have been spent on this particular program for each and every one of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Chaplin. I think Pastor Chaplin, we are in transition, and we've just gone through our strategic planning session where we are revising our approach and our delivery in terms of the new mandate. Now, for instance, Chaplin, we also revising the current APP, because our mandate has been revised or and changed. So we intend to come to the portfolio committee and would ask that before the end of September, so that we bring a revise in terms of our understanding of the new mandate, the revised APPs going forward from October to March 2015, October 2014. So we will engage the person in terms of how then do we deal with the second quarter, which will still reflect children and people with disabilities, because we now Department of Women and we need to move towards that and focus on issues of women. I'm not saying the other sectors are not important, but in terms of what has been pronounced and proclaimed by the President, and which is going to be also confirmed with the Department of Public Services and Administration, so that we then, when we come back, we really look at issues of women. Honourable Member, I know that we talk about young women, but we deal with women across the board, and including women with disabilities. So we might have a program or two that deal with young women in terms of science, technology, engineering, and math, but that's not our focus. That's not our only focus. We're mentioning today because it talks to that section of young women. We deal with women and HIV, women, all women issues, women in health, women in education, women in the economy, women in decision-making positions, just across the spectrum. And perhaps in tying up with what the other honourable member was saying, when we present, we should not just fill in the blockages. We should give you insights in terms of what we did, how it affected the intended recipients, has there been any impact, has there been any outcome, how much we spent. So I think colleagues are listening here, when we present the next time around, we'll have to have that substantive presentation so that you get a sense of what is the impact of what we are doing. Though we are mindful of the fact that perhaps the impact may not be seen immediately, it may be after a while, but we could give you some milestone in terms of what has happened thus far, as far as that program is concerned. So we take note of the request from the honourable members, and I'm sure we will do that. With regards to NPOs and NGOs, I think, fortunately, we've got Titi Tony here, who is in the Department of Social Development. Lapho ukuthi ama NPO ayabenefitha ingane lezi basebenzisa zona azitholi lutho nabantu abadala. So I think isho ukuthi i-Department of Social Development that gives the NPOs, that NPOs status and registration, need to strengthen monitoring and evaluation in terms of what the NPOs are doing, what those CBOs and NGOs are doing, which have been registered with the Department of Social Development. So also Udidish Tony will take it up and with the Department of Social Development so that there's a lot of monitoring. That's up here, would be that time. Can I ask the Tony to respond to children and child abuse?
Thanks, Chair. The matter on in fact in this case it speaks to tobacco abuse. I think the honourable member was writing that. In the Department of Social Development, there's a program that is broadly looking at alcohol and drug abuse. So it's a broad program which begins to address that. But I think with regards to women, children, and people with disabilities, we then work with Department of Social Development in making sure that there's reduction with regards to children abusing alcohol and drugs, and that we can do that with a program that I've stated in earlier on, which looks at child protection, and that children are able to raise these matters. What happens is that when we go into a particular community, for instance, now in May, we had to look at the child protection week in this province at Delft, which is what we're concentrating on. With regards to our children's program, children's rights and responsibility, and Department of Social Development, with regards to how children are being protected on these harmful substances, and that we then engage children with regards to profiling what is happening in health, and then they are able to provide us with a clearer report. And when we go out of that area, we leave more staff to work with the community. So it's a community that actually systematically addresses those elements that might infect the development and future of children. So that's basically what it does. Not necessarily look at tobacco, but it looks at broadly alcohol and drug abuse. Thank you.
We can allow you here, not in it.
Okay.
Members, do you have follow up questions or should we close on the matter? I think we should close the matter. Did you?
I think I would advise to the Department of Children and Women to look at this issue of the gangsters. More special in Western Cape, it's where this disease is happening. You have these groups of youth affected in drugs, affected in gangsters. I would advise to look up as soon as possible to check what mechanism you can do as a department to speed up that process. Very critical in this province.
Thank you very much. I think the TG will also take it up with social development when you do monitoring and evaluation. We will also call the Department of Social Development and do and ask all those questions and also give them ideas how they can go about engaging the youth. I think members will reach the end of our meeting. The three items that are on the agenda, which is 3, 4, and 5, can we reserve it for the next meeting? And DG, thank you very much that you came just giving us this information. Switch on the right now.
Ngithi ngiyaxolisa shalom. Okunye futhi ebengizocela ukungeza kule yamakentanga. Asifuna ukusebenzela nabela babuye kusimonikela khona.
Lamatan, Avula Marushin, Indian Manishala was 24 hours. Banana Maranthan, Laraban to Kavan Manushin, Abadani King, the school is going to be a court. This is the Sukhim, and then I'm trying to go to the industry and this is it.
Yes. And some of the things that you have mentioned are supposed to go to NPOP. I mean, that deals with local government also and provinces. Because these provinces have to develop some of the books the licensing of taverns is given the provinces. So, and these things have to be taken to the NPOP. So, members, thank you very much for participating in today's meeting, and thank you very much, Chair. The meeting is urgent. Thank you.